Scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went on and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'"
All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, as we come to you on this Palm Sunday, we rejoice in your salvation. We rejoice in your grace towards us. And we pray that today you would open the eyes of our heart to look at the scriptures, to see the power of your salvation in our lives. We thank you for everyone who's gathered here today, and we pray that you would just give them hope, restoration, and renewal as we gather in your name. We pray this for you, Lord, to you, and all glory to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. And you know, Palm Sunday, as a pastor, is a little bit of a confusing day. There's a lot of emotions, I feel, in Palm Sunday. Especially lately with people not emphasizing Good Friday as much. It feels like Palm Sunday needs to be a lot of things. But I encourage you to attend our Good Friday program. There's a lot of things, and you can read about it in the bulletin. We really encourage you to worship with us together on that day. It is a very meaningful time to think about the death and resurrection of Christ. This weekend is an exciting weekend for the church. It's probably the most important. The coming weekend is probably one of the most important moments of the church that we really recognize the lordship and the power of Christ. But before we get to all of that, we have to talk about Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is a day that we celebrate. It's a day that we celebrate that God's salvation has come to us. And as we read in the scripture here, we read that the crowds had gathered and they said the word Hosanna. And Hosanna means save. Save us. Please save us. It became a word crying out for God's salvation, but it was also a word that was a word of praise, kind of acknowledging that the only one who can offer salvation is you, God. That saving power was acknowledged in Jesus as he came into the city. God's salvation has come to us in Jesus Christ. And how exciting you can imagine as I'm reading this, finally the disciples are getting it right. They have finally acknowledged who Jesus is. In fact, if you know the name Jesus, it comes from the Hebrew word Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So can you imagine the one whose name even says the Lord saves has now finally been acknowledged as the Savior. He has come to us. And we read that the disciples at this time are finally starting to get the picture. They're starting to realize that God's kingdom has been shown to them through Jesus. His teaching and his miracles, they really did confirm that Jesus was not just some ordinary man, but that he was anointed by God to be the chosen one, the Messiah, the very messenger, the very one from God to bring salvation to his people. After all these generations of God's people crying out to God, asking for deliverance, it finally came. This moment in Jerusalem, it's all coming together. And this is the man, and people recognized him and said, Hosanna. They They found what they could. They found palm branches, and they waved, and they acknowledged him. He's bringing God's salvation. And in Matthew, we read that even the children were joining in. And the temple courts were being filled with a celebration of God's grace. And that is why we call it Palm Sunday. But you know, many people have also recognized that we can't just call it Palm Sunday. We should also call it Passion Sunday. Because this is the day that marks the beginning of Christ's great sufferings. We're going to read that he will give his final series of teachings to warn us about the kingdom to come, the judgment to come. And most importantly, to tell his disciples that one of them will betray him and hand him over to death. And we even read, after the passage that was read today, that even though everyone was rejoicing, Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he wept. Because as many people were there that to welcome him, many did not welcome him in Jerusalem. And he says this, he says, Jerusalem, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Many people do not recognize the move of Jesus coming into the city. Why do we call it Passion Sunday? Passion is not this emotional romantic thing. That's actually a pretty modern usage of the word. But passion comes from the original word pathos, which actually means suffering. That's why we say the Passion of the Christ. It's not the love or the emotional outpouring of Jesus. It's actually the suffering of Christ. And this is the week that we celebrate also the Passion of the Christ, the suffering of the Christ, because that suffering, that pain that he underwent is for our healing, our redemption, our restoration. And there's a bitter irony. As wonderful as the day is, as exciting as it is for people to hold their palms up in celebration, there's a bitter irony because this crowd of worshipers will soon disappear. And just as they were crying out and quoting the scripture that we read in the call to worship today, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the one of David. It will soon be replaced by an angry mob of protesters shouting that they want Jesus brutally murdered. They want him humiliated publicly. People will be unconvinced that this man could save. And they will kill him just like a common criminal, to show everyone that this Jesus can't save us. Look, he's just like one of us. He goes on a cross, he dies like one of us. He can't even save himself, some people will say. And they'll mock him, and they'll deny that God has chosen him to be our salvation. Some of them will even put something above his head and say, King of the Jews? This is what the King of the Jews looks like. Some have called this the triumphal entry. But how triumphant is it? And who is triumphing? Who is triumphant in this moment? It's tragic because we know that the pain that will soon follow will come very soon. And it's at this point, as I read the Bible to myself, I think, how difficult to save humanity. If any of you have done work for the community or have tried to do something out of charity, out of the goodness of your heart, have you found yourself only to be frustrated after you give it? After you give that symbol or token of love, that there's so much more work to be done. How difficult to help people. You know, last week I talked about reconciliation. And maybe last week you thought, okay, I'm going to make an attempt to forgive this person. I'm going to do something nice for them when they've been so bad to me. And you do that great work of mercy or charity, only to find out that that person is very ungrateful. Only to find out that that one act of mercy is not much. And in fact, there's a lot more work to be done. I've talked to some people in the DC public school system, and they recognize that they're here to make a difference, to make a change. But for whatever they're doing, they realize there's so much more work to be done. Here, Jesus has come, and people have finally acknowledged him. But as he comes into the city, he still weeps because he realizes, you know, as many people came out today to wave their palm branches and to say Hosanna, there's still a lot of work to be done. How difficult for God to reach his people, I think. How amazing God is that he continues to reach out. I read through the Bible, and I read about how he came into this earth to save the world. But think about Jesus' life. No room in the inn for him. And even though Jesus came, Herod declared all the babies murdered so that Jesus couldn't survive to his childhood. He came into his hometown to heal people, but no one accepted him because they couldn't believe he was something special. They just thought he was Jesus. I grew up with you. You're no big deal. He couldn't do much in that day. He taught the multitudes about the kingdom of God, but the religious leaders of the time were cynical and unchanged, and the crowds eventually scattered. And it's just at this point where I say, wow, God, you are so patient. Why don't you just give up on the project? But I don't say that because I think, wait a minute, aren't I in that number of people who have resisted God? Haven't there been times where I've struggled and I've resisted the move of God, where I have not acknowledged Jesus coming through into our city? Haven't I taken the time to just say the praises of God in one moment and only a week later to deny him, to be like Peter saying, I will follow you to the death, only to deny him and abandon him? And on this day, Christ didn't really have the proper honor, if you think about it. He came in on a donkey. And rather than having a regal procession, he had palms, simple palms to welcome him. And it's easy to become cynical and to think, ah, oh, can God really do anything with us? We're so hopeless. But I do want to call attention to the scripture that is amazing, is that though many resisted Christ, Christ came in to this city, and he still received praise. Even though it was not perfect, Hosanna was still being declared. People were still saying that salvation comes from God. In verse 39, we read that many of the religious leaders were upset at this embarrassing and noisy display honoring Jesus. And they tried to deny that God was doing something through Jesus. They tried to keep people quiet. But Jesus says something very powerful, and this is what I want to really come across. This is what I really want to communicate to you on this Palm Sunday. Jesus replied, "If you make these people stop praising, God will find another way to make his salvation known. God will find another way to say Hosanna. He will raise up, get this, he will even raise up stones if he has to." You see, if the people will not come to see Jesus, Jesus will find a way to reach us. Okay, maybe it's not through the religious leaders of the time. Then he's going to raise up children. If it's not the children who are going to praise him, then God will even raise up stones. And maybe some of us have kind of come into church sort of skeptical to think, how can we raise up the praises of Jesus in this place? How can we make this a place where the salvation of Jesus is central? Where when, if Jesus did come through those doors today, he would have the worthy welcome. How are we going to make it happen? Some of us are thinking maybe as a church that we're not equipped. We don't have the resources. Maybe in my own life, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just beyond the reach of Jesus. I have successfully shut him out. Have we declared that maybe over our loved ones, our friends, our family, and saying, you know, it's too late for this person. I have prayed a lot, but the voice of Jesus has just been shut down in that person's life. We've sinned way too much. There's no way to get back to Jesus. I mean, the distance between Jesus and I is so much. I don't know if it's worth it to get back to him. And in this world that is very anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-Christ. All sorts of obstacles have been set up to shut out that sound of Hosanna that we sang today. So many things in this world, when we want to say Hosanna, Lord, save us, we need your help, there's another competing voice saying, you don't need Jesus to save you. There are so many things. There are so many other things that can save you. And it is a struggle to find the words, to find that special word, Hosanna. It is a struggle to say, Jesus, we need you. Especially when you see the worst that humanity has to offer. And I think the worst that of humanity is seen in the cross. That we see God who is perfect in love, who is without sin, reach out to us, who is so sinful, in his mercy and in his grace. But we turn him aside and we persecute him. But God is willing to overcome that obstacle. And on the cross to even say, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And today I want to bring up to you, as a fellow brother in Christ, what is that blockade? What is that thing that is shutting up that voice of praise in you? What is that stumbling block between you and that right relationship with God and with others? Has it been unhealthy patterns in your daily relationships? You know, maybe a constantly negative attitude to think that God cannot move in your life or in the life of people around you. Has it been a family past that is very difficult, loaded with all sorts of baggage? But despite our obstacles and inconsistencies, God says that even though you feel like your heart is a heart of stone now, God says to you today on Palm Sunday, he says, even out of a heart of stone, I can call forth praise. In fact, God even can call out praise from death. God even overcame death to reach you. God has literally given everything. Because he loved you so much, we read in the scriptures. He loved the world so much that he would give his only son. That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Even if you felt like you've cut off every opportunity to meet with God, God can still find a way to reach you. God can even make those rocks in your life to cry out to make him known. How passionate is that love that reaches out to us? And in the face of such love, God is challenging us to drop the things around us and move towards him. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. And so, I don't know where you stand in your relationship with God today, but all of us can take a step closer. Today, on this Sunday, I want to challenge all of us. How can we take a step closer to Jesus Christ? It will require a humbling and a repentance to hear the words of salvation from God. But let's not shut out that voice that is speaking to us today. God's not going to give up on you. Even if the world succeeded in making everything quiet, God still finds a way to speak his voice to us. He'd make even the rocks cry out. And so as we enter into Palm Sunday, into this Holy Week, I think this is an important time for all of us as Christians to kind of stop and think, where is that voice crying out to me, that voice of salvation in my life? If Jesus came into my life, would I acknowledge that he is the one who can save me, that he is the one who can give me hope, that he is the one who can deliver me from this current situation? Many of us, I don't know, this year might be a somber year for you, and it's difficult to get excited about Easter. It's difficult because we've done it so many times. But today, to think anew of Easter is an opportunity to hear God's praises. When Jesus comes before us, Let us call out to him and acknowledge him. I don't know about you, but I would hate to have a rock take my place, declaring the praises of Jesus, to acknowledge who Jesus is. God wants that move of God to start here in this place, in this community. Let's not give it to another. Let's take that honor joyfully and gratefully. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to acknowledge your salvation in our lives. Father, particularly in the places that we struggle, may we just really be able to cry out Hosanna to you, to acknowledge that God, you are able to save. Father, we ask that we'd have a new understanding of your Son, Jesus. For any of us today, Lord, that have become jaded to the gospel, we pray that today, that we come to an understanding that salvation only comes through Jesus. Lord, if that has not been our stand, I pray that for our brothers and sisters here, if there's anyone who has longed to know your salvation, that today would be the day they put their trust in you and live their life for you. Lord, you are able to save, and we put our trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen.